This is Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Every month, Jean Creighton comes down to the studio from her usual haunt in the Manfred Olson Planetarium at UW-Milwaukee to tell us stories about the cosmos.
And today she's in a festive mood. Hello, Jean. Are you ready for Thanksgiving?
I'm always ready for Thanksgiving.
Me too. I just think of all of that warm, lovely food. It's the colors of the table that make me very excited, as well as the tastes, of course. But the first thing you do is you see the food.
Yeah.
And then you smell it. And then of course, you taste it. And so this is a very labored way of me getting into what we're talking about, because it's how we see things, how we perceive things, and whether they're appealing to us or not. And I know you have a program going on right now at the planetarium that's about the colors of the universe. So my understanding of the universe is that there really aren't colors the way we understand them, because they're in a range of the spectrum that we can't perceive.
That is true to a large extent, that most of the light that's out there is invisible to our eyes. So to say that they have a color would be a falsehood, right? Of course, there are things that do make light in the part of the spectrum that we see. So if you look, say, at Jupiter, for example, it will have colors in its atmosphere. If you look online at some of the beautiful videos that they produce, you can be sure that those colors are enhanced. But there is color. There's color on Jupiter. There's color on Neptune. But if, let's say, you go and look at those beautiful nebulae.
Which I love.
Which are heartwarming. And I mean, I'm thinking the cranberries. I was thinking of that gorgeous red and cranberries. I like red, as you know. You see these beautiful nebulae with all these colors. And in your heart, you think, oh, just imagine looking through my spacecraft at that. Well, you wouldn't see that. Most of the gas, if you were close enough, really close to it, it is probably so diffuse, they wouldn't make any light enough, certainly not enough light for our eyes to capture. Remember, what we're seeing is light that comes from literally hundreds of light years of material. And also, these things emit lights in different wavelengths, in ways that if I wanted to know, okay, where are the hot spots on this nebula, or where is it densest? I have different filters that will give me that information. So often that filter, it could have been black and white. It is black and white in the original. If you look at Hubble telescope pictures, they're black and white. But if you enhance, if you put a color to it, then you can look at multiple images simultaneously and you can get a better feel for the whole thing.
It makes it more three-dimensional, I would
say. It certainly does.
And how are those colors assigned?
Well, in some cases, they're assigned because of tradition. So let's say, this particular filter is closest to the blue in the spectrum, so we'll call this blue. But what do you do with things that just don't have any color because they're in ultraviolet? Well, depending on what your needs and wants are, if you're really looking for the hot spots, you'll probably want to give a color that would suggest hot, like, say, a bright yellow or something. In some cases, though, these things are a matter of aesthetic pleasure. So I've been reading a fascinating book that is looking at Hubble Space Telescope images from an artistic point of view, and how some of the color scheme and the focus and where they decide to frame the picture, it's been influenced by 19th century adventure paintings from the West, because that's assumed to be a frontier, right? So you want it to be awesome, but you also want it to be a little familiar. It's probably not very hard to make a nebula look otherworldly and odd, as opposed to, oh, look at that cool place that I could almost touch.
I could almost go there.
I could almost go there.
So do scientists who are making these aesthetic decisions, do they work with artists, or do they have art history people who are saying, you know, there was this kind of painting in the 1840s that did this? I mean, how is that happening?
Well, I think that now we kind of have two kinds of images. So we really have the images that were intended for scientists, and they might decide that I don't want any color, or I want very specific colors that match a previous experiment or something else. And then I think there are people whose background is art history and their artists themselves who get to figure out how can I put these multiple images together so that the whole is as gorgeous as I can make it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I understand scientists are using this as tools of work, but, you know, scientists get to have pretty things too, you know.
Of course, of course. And in fact, I saw, I think it's NGC 3231, so it's a planetary nebula, and I'm used to seeing it with the colors that very much resemble Yellowstone, that particular color scheme. And in this book, they show the same object in a color scheme that they considered for the Hubble Heritage Site. Electric pinks. It's all, you know, versions of bright pinks, deeper pinks, really quite, what's the term?
Vibrant?
Yeah, vibrant and a little extreme, I would say, a little extreme. And yet, the features of the nebula are still perfectly maintained. It's just a different color scheme. So it reminds you that you don't really change the characteristics of it. You just change the look of it, the color of it. And I think they decided to go with something, again, that spoke to the more natural, the more familiar than something that was so otherworldly and,
right,
and jarring. I mean, the word is jarring.
Yeah, electric
really.
Pink,
yeah.
Jarring.
Yeah.
Electric pink.
Yeah.
Now, if we were to put filters over our eyes that allowed us to see into the infrared or into the ultraviolet, what kinds of things would we see? Would we see color at that point, or would we not recognize what we're seeing as what we think of as color?
I think we would get some kind of signal. My guess is that if we had such a filter, I don't know that we would see color. I actually am not sure. What I do know is that your camera would attach some kind of color to it, or it would be black and white, I guess. But I'm thinking of when I looked at Northern Lights with night goggles, there was almost a bluish green, yellowish green, blue color, but that came probably from the aurora themselves. So I'm assuming if it had color, I would see it. The infrared wouldn't add any color. I would just maybe see a little brighter signal.
Right. I'm just wondering if we had the capability of being able to see into the infrared, if we would all of a sudden, you know.
We probably would have different colors. It would be like something we can't describe because we can't do.
Right.
I know that some people, I've read that people can see another kind of purple. There are people who can see a little beyond what most people can. And I believe butterflies identify a fourth color of the basic colors. So, and how
right.
we
more
know this, I couldn't
and
tell
more
you.
Rods
yeah.
and all
yeah.
of that sort of stuff.
But,
yeah.
But I think I'm thinking of pictures of dogs. So you'll see a picture of a doggy, and then there's an infrared picture, and what it brings out is all the warm spots of the dog. So the eyeballs of the dog are going to be the hottest thing on his face. If you look at people in infrared, you know, their hands are going to be warm, their heads are going to be warm, a lot of heat escapes from our heads. So again, an infrared image is going to give you different information. It's going to tell you where your hot spots are.
Which is pretty cool.
Which I think is appropriate for Thanksgiving. We should find our hot spots.
We should find our hot spots, you know, right on the table, surrounded by family and friends.
Yeah.
Well, Jean, have a wonderful day tomorrow. I hope you eat lots and lots of all of the wonderful foods that you love, and we will talk next month.
Thank you so much.
Lake Effect Astronomy contributor Jean Creighton is also the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium located on the campus of UW-Milwaukee. You can find out about their shows from a link at wuwm.com.